Coming to Company featuring Caroline Fenton is live today from the Hillside Medical Game Studios at First Horizon Park. The Sounds and the Louisville Bats, my two favorite AAA teams, getting ready to do battle tonight out here at First Horizon Park. It is a very fun day for me. And we're streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, thanks to the losses of Amanda Gentry. And I just want to say this before anybody, you know, before we get right into the nitty-gritty of everything else, which is for years and years and years, the Bats never played the Sounds because the Bats were in the International League, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me because I didn't think there were any Canadian teams in there, but somehow it was the International League.
Is Louisville International?
No.
Mr. Worldwide.
And the Sounds were in the Pacific Coast League, which also didn't make a lot of sense because Nashville, I don't know if you've looked at an atlas lately, but is not on the Pacific Coast. it's like on the Percy Priest Coast. And so
they could be talking about that.
It never made any sense to me. So the Sounds never played the Louisville Bats. They never played the then Richmond Braves, later Gwinnett Braves, now Gwinnett Stripers. And so Major League Baseball came in and basically said to AAA, hey, we're taking over. And now the Sounds get to play all the teams that I like. And I'm like, where was this when I was 8 years old at Greer Stadium? Like, where were the Braves for six straight nights? Boy, that would have, oh my God, my parents would have hated that. Six straight nights of Braves baseball. Where was that? Braves AAA ball. Where was that when I was a kid? So now we got it, and the six games at a time I think is awesome. And so you got six games against the Bats. Great seats available, I'm sure, for all of them. They got the band box, of course. They got the berm, third and home. Stop by there before the game. They've got it all. They got all the stuff for the kids and all the inflatables that'll be up. And then you got some great baseball on top of it as well. So I'm a huge proponent of being here today, and I'm a huge proponent of today's game. And I have now talked for 2 minutes about tonight's Sounds game. But you know what? Shout out to the Sounds.
Let's go, Sounds.
Shout out to the Sounds. We're big Sounds fans here. All right. So I want to start on this. I woke up today. By the way, I got my Petersons for Parkinson's Foundation shirt on. Coach Peterson told me that he wants me to be positive. So saw him yesterday at the golf tournament.
Uh-huh.
Coach Brent Peterson. If you don't know Coach Pete, longtime Barry Trotz assistant. Now he works for the Predators. You know, he obviously has Parkinson's, was an assistant coach, diagnosed the Predators. You know, he stays in the family. Coach Pete wants everybody to know, or I don't know if he wants everyone to know, he wanted me to know that he is demanding positivity now until December 25th. That is how long.
So post-Christmas, we're just going to turn things around?
I don't know. We didn't get that far.
Okay.
So I don't know.
We'll reevaluate around Christmas time.
We'll see how that works out. But that's what Coach Pete wants.
Happy to hear we'll be positive until then.
I do want to start on this. So every day, like during the football season or even during like the hockey playoffs or the trade deadline, it's really easy to program a radio show. It's really easy the Monday after a Titans game to figure out what you're going to talk about on the radio. It's much different come the summertime because you could talk about this or you could talk about that or, you know, what's the most important thing? I don't know. And so I woke up this morning and I was like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. We'll probably talk about Titans here, probably talk about it there. You know, I might, you know, see what Caroline's thinking, you know, whatever. And then all of a sudden I, you know, as I go through, I listen to Robbie and Rex Road, see what they're talking about every morning. And then I go see, you know, what all's going on with ESPN or whatever. So I clicked on NFL Network Radio on Sirius XM. And Mike Vrabel was on, and I'm like, okay, I got to listen to this. Sirius XM NFL channel has become the official Malik Willis Ryan Tannehill station. In all seriousness, I'm a little jealous because I thought that we were the 24/7 Ryan Tannehill show, but apparently not. So they were talking that Charlie Weiss, longtime Patriots coach, has got Vrabel and Solomon Wilcots, and so they're all buddies, and Vrabel even started the interview saying, you know, I love doing these kind of interviews because you guys are football guys. And say, like, okay, we got it, Mike. But Charlie Weiss, who was very critical of Tannehill, asked Vrabel about Tannehill and Malik Willis. And before we play the clip, I just want to say for you this. I believe Tannehill's answer the other day might have been the best thing that ever happened to the Titans. And I will explain why. Here's what Vrabel said this morning on NFL Radio on Sirius XM.
You went and drafted a very highly touted quarterback, Malik Willis, that people, I thought that was a great pick in the third round. How do you think, you know, after I saw you supported what Tannehill had to say, and I understand that. But how do you think that, you know, how do you think that that's going to work? Do you think that, that Ryan really will end up being somewhat of a mentor for Malik?
All I can tell you is what I saw yesterday when they were both on the field together. And it looked like a team with three quarterbacks that are all supporting each other and two veteran guys that have been here that understand the drills that are helping the younger player. And that's all I can go by is what I saw yesterday. And I would say that was extremely positive.
Okay. So that's what Vrabel said. And when I heard that, because nobody could have been at yesterday's off-season voluntary practice, workout, whatever, so nobody could have covered it, I think Vrabel's telling the truth. Now, again, we talked about the Titans and their propensity to not tell the truth and how we sometimes have to be worried about that. But knowing what I know of Tannehill, I think Vrabel's telling the truth. And what I tell TD last week when I said, I've got a hot take about rookie minicamp, and he was like, how can you have a hot take about rookie minicamp? And I said, I think knowing what I know of Ryan Tannehill, that regardless of all the noise, by the time the rookie minicamp is over or whatever, I think Tannehill and Malik Willis are going to be really good friends. And TD did not disagree with that. And so flash forward to now. I think that Ryan Tannehill's response 2 weeks ago to my question about Malik Willis and the dynamic in the room of the fact that Malik Willis is there to take Tannehill's job long term, and his response about that long-winded answer of basically, you know, I'm here to do my job and he's here to do his job and we'll be together, but you know, it's not my job to mentor him, but if he learns something good, that got totally blown out of proportion. Might be the best thing that ever happened to the Titans. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when you say something and you slip up, you have to address it. And so Tannehill, and we were talking about this off air, this was all a doing of his own.
He was not baited into that.
And as somebody who has baited people into things before, I was not trying to bait Ryan Tannehill into that. I wanted to know what Ryan Tannehill had to say. And last time I checked, that is the point of asking questions. But because of how it came out, you know, Tannehill and Malik Willis, they had talked a little bit, but they really didn't know each other. And all of a sudden, Malik Willis is getting ready to go to Nashville, Tennessee for what may be the beginning of his new life. And all of a sudden, you see all the headlines of this guy being like, not my job, not interested in taking care of him. That's not my job. And you're probably a little off put by that. Well, Tannehill's in his position, and he probably sees all of that, or at least somebody tells him about the firestorm that was created. And now Tannehill knows, like, okay, I've got to address this. And Malik Willis said as much on Friday when he said we chopped it up. He had us all over for dinner, you know, because they had to address it. As opposed to if Tannehill hadn't made that comment and Tannehill didn't say anything, and then there was this kind of air of awkwardness between them because Tannehill knows that Malik's there to take his job, and Tannehill is trying to keep Malik from taking the job, and it's kind of unspoken that you both know what's going on, but you don't want to talk about it because it's awkward, then that can make for an uncomfortable situation. When you say something that comes out different than probably, you know, he interpreted it to mean, then you could say, dude, that's not what I meant. I'm glad you're here. I want you to be here. I want you to learn. I want you to, you know, it's the coach's job. And it almost allows everybody to kind of define the roles. It allows them to set boundaries. And I think that's actually important. You know, there are clear boundaries right now at the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill is the starter. Malik Willis is either the backup or the third stringer. But Malik's job is to learn. Malik's job is not to play. It is not to be worried about the Colts. It is not any of those things. His job is to just get better at football. The coaches' jobs are well-defined. And hey, they're the ones in charge of Malik. Ryan, you worry about the Colts. You worry about the Bills. You worry about week one against the New York Giants. Malik, you worry about what the coaches tell you to be worried about. And I think it's the best thing that happened to the Titans. I fully believe what Vrabel said, that he walked out on the practice field yesterday and Logan Woodside and Ryan Tannehill were trying to help Malik Willis through the drills. And now that everybody knows where they stand and everybody knows how everybody else feels, and there's no animosity, and it all got hashed out before they even took the field together, something that Tannehill just got raked over the coals for 2 weeks, I am now convinced might be the best thing that happened to the Titans, or at least the quarterback situation surrounding the Titans. Because you know that if they hadn't discussed this, there would have been some kind of awkwardness between them. Like, everybody, Malik Willis, that's first-round hype. And so now, I think the roles are defined, the coaching roles are defined, the relationship is defined, the friendship is probably defined of, hey, we're friends, we want each other to do well, but at the end of the day, he knows I got to worry about my job, and I know he's got to worry about his job. And I think that's better than not addressing it. I think it's better than not talking through it. And like I told TD last week, knowing what I know of Tannehill, and I'm not convinced Tannehill would be the best person to mentor anybody anyways, no disrespect, but knowing what I know of Tannehill, I believe that he and Malik Willis are ultimately going to become really good friends. Because I don't think Tannehill is like Ben Roethlisberger or like Aaron Rodgers or like Brett Favre or like any of these guys who just turns his back on the other guy. In fact, when people talk about Alex Smith and about what he did for Patrick Mahomes, now look, 2 first-round picks, Patrick Mahomes was going to be the quarterback of the Chiefs. I don't know if Malik Willis is going to be the quarterback of the Titans. It'd be nice, but the Titans kind of have this buffer of if Malik's not that good, then they can move on whenever they want to and go get somebody else. Whereas you spend 2 first-round picks on Patrick Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback of your team. But I got to tell you, just after what Vrabel said today, and I listened to Robbie and Joe talk about it, and they were like, oh, Vrabel doesn't want to talk about it. He's just brushing it off, or maybe. But I don't think Vrabel was lying about that. And I think that's a really good sign. And harmony in a locker room is so important. And the smallest issue that got blown into this big whole discussion thing was addressed well before it ever mattered. This is my long-winded way of saying all the bad things that people were saying about Daniel, I think actually are good for the Titans now.
I don't know if I can fully get on board with the fact that if this hadn't happened, if Tannehill hadn't said, oh, I'm not going to mentor Malik Willis, that they wouldn't have already addressed it. Because the Titans fully understand that Malik Willis had first-round hype. The Titans fully understand, I think, I mean, Mike Vrabel preaches it more than anyone, that culture, culture, culture. Harmony in the locker room. Leadership in the locker room.
He doesn't preach harmony in the locker room.
Culture?
Culture and harmony in the locker room are not the same thing.
How?
Because culture...
If everyone hates each other, then you don't have very good culture.
Culture is everybody pulling the rope in the same direction, doing their job and doing what the coach tells them to do. Harmony in the locker room is everybody being buddy-buddy. Harmony in the locker room is what we have right now with the Predators, where Ryan Johansson goes on Robbie and Rex Road and says, this is the most fun season I've ever had. And it's like, you mean the year you guys won the President's Trophy wasn't the most fun season you ever had? You know, like the Preds, you listen to those exit interviews. I mean, those guys love playing on this team. They love everything about it. Doesn't make them any better at winning hockey. You know, I think there's a little bit of uneasiness. Like, I think Vrabel even talked about it on the SiriusXM interview today, where he was actually talking about his kid, and he was saying that he didn't think it would be a good idea for his son to play for the Titans because he knows that the players, like, under their breath probably talk bad about him. And he didn't want his son to be involved in that, which makes sense to me.
I get that.
I mean, so, but I hear what you're saying, though. I hear what you're saying.
I think that it, I don't think being eventually addressed it in anyways. The locker room. I mean, sure. That everyone is on the same boat
sure.
with whatever the task is at hand. I do think it would have been addressed. It was hyped up so much more because Ryan Tannehill said that. It became a national story because Ryan Tannehill said it. But I don't think that just because Ryan Tannehill said he didn't want to mentor Malik Willis doesn't mean that there weren't going to be clear roles established. Because I think the Titans fully understand both the animosity in this city toward Ryan Tannehill, how much they're going to be wanting Malik Willis to start, and how much hype there was surrounding Malik Willis. I think that would have been the first thing they would have done is squash all of that, establish clear roles, and make sure that everyone in that quarterback room, everyone in the locker room, knows the job that they need to do.
I don't know, man. Like, it's a passive, like, yes, but the league itself is passive aggressive. Let's pick this up. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. I've been in a church before where, and I'm not even Christian, but I've been in a church where, you know, sometimes the pastor says something and you just, amen. You know that feeling?
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel said something today on that SiriusXM interview that I hit the table. I said, amen. We'll get to that up next. Right here, Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Amen. Do you know what I'm saying amen to right there? By the way, that was Vrabel on SiriusXM NFL Radio this morning. Do you know what I'm saying amen to?
Get rid of entitlement.
Hey, get that entitlement on out of here. And I don't know if there's a with Vrabel, when he does these interviews, there's a lot of just generic, you know, like the we're all blessed to be in the National Football League. Like, he says that all the time, one way or another. You know, that is nothing new. But the, you know, we want to get rid of entitlement in our organization when nobody's entitled. And I don't know if Vrabel just says that to say that. Like, if that's part of, like, you know.
Oh, no.
The Mike Vrabel Edith.
There's no way he would say that just to say that. Entitlement is a very big word. And also, Mike Vrabel, I think, says things in a very calculated way. He knows exactly what he's saying. And you wouldn't just say, I want to get rid of entitlement if you didn't think any of your players were entitled. He very much so thinks there's a good bit of entitlement in that locker room. That's exactly why he said that. He would not just throw that word out there.
So you think, for why I love what he said right there, I mean, you heard, as soon as you heard that word, because you hadn't heard this clip.
No.
As soon as you heard that word, you knew exactly why I loved this.
Oh, yeah. Siren went off in my head.
Really?
Yes.
And you think that Vrabel, see, and because there's a couple of different things. In fact, Elijah, if you could get the one on how Vrabel about the voluntary workouts clip, if you've got that in there. We were talking about this yesterday. The quote on the Treylon Burks thing about guys think they can get with their trainer and then all of a sudden, you know, it's different when you're out here.
That was his opportunity to send a message to everyone.
And now, you know, what did I say after the season is, you know, everybody, we talk about changing the quarterback and the local media and the fans, oh, you can't change quarterback cap number. It's so big. It's so. And I'm like, man, Ryan Tannehill does not own the team. Ryan Tannehill does not, he shouldn't have a guaranteed spot. And, you know, here's Vrabel. And the Titans have done a good job of actually following through on this. Now, it's a lot easier. I could compare it to the Predators, but you have to guarantee contracts in the NHL. You don't guarantee contracts in the NFL. But the Titans, they're the team that shipped Jarrell Casey out of town. So, like, the Titans are not afraid to sit back and say, hey, man, sorry. And I do wonder if Vrabel is thinking that his guys might be acting a little too entitled and that there may have been a message in that of we want to get rid of entitlement. This is another thing that my head kind of popped up when Charlie Weiss asked him about the offseason program. Because, like, who cares about the offseason program, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I need you to be there and I need you to work while you're there. But as far as, like, you know, phase two versus voluntary workouts versus OTAs versus mandatory minicamp versus non-mandatory minicamp versus puking in the grass. Well, I don't know. But this is what Vrabel said today. And you tell me on that same entitlement front if there's a message here with this one too.
Okay, so you got from now until September 11th when you open up at home against the Giants. Basically, what's the layout between now and then? Because I know that you're meticulous. You kind of have this all laid out. How's this laid out between now and then?
Well, we'll finish up here this week with you know, our phase two work, which is great work, which is, you know, really my favorite time of the season, the off season, is because you get to work with guys that want to be here. Right, this is voluntary. You work with guys that want to be here, that want to focus on technique and fundamentals and conditioning, things that we believe are critical to individual and team success.
I mean, I think he's pissed at somebody.
Well, who are guys that don't want to be there?
I don't know, because we don't know who's there. Because they haven't. So what happens?
That is 100% a message.
So what happens is, like, right now, they're working right now, but we're not invited. So I believe next week. Maybe it's this week. I don't know. TV would know. But this, like, we don't know who's there or who's not. When they have their first on-the-field session, that's when you always see all, like, the John Glennons of the world looking around, and they check off on the roster who's there and who's not there. And so we don't know who's not there. You know, I have not looked at Derrick Henry's Instagram, or at least gone out of my way. I do follow Derrick Henry, but I have not gone out of my way to look at Derrick's Instagram. I don't know if Derrick's not there. I don't know. But for Vrabel to be sounding off about trainers, entitlement, and highlighting the guys who are there
and want to be there.
Vrabel's pissed about something, and I don't know what it is. Right?
I mean, to the entitlement part of it, I mean, what just happened to the most entitled, I guess, on the outside looking in, the most entitled player on that team?
They shipped AJ out of
here. He just got shipped out to Philadelphia. So I think that was not just a message to AJ. That was a message to the entire team that if you are not in it for the team, if it's all about you get shipped out of here. And I do think it's very much so a message. Like, if you ever watched the show Game of Thrones?
I have not, but everybody else except for me has.
But everything about Game of Thrones, there isn't a single character or conversation or anything that happens in that show that isn't a symbol or isn't foreshadowing or doesn't matter at some point down the line.
Sure.
That's exactly how I view Mike Vrabel press conferences. He drops these little nuggets, and I don't think there's anything that he says that isn't calculated and doesn't mean something.
Okay, so like when the Titans lost to the Bengals and he was like, it's never going to be about one person as long as I'm coach, which is going to be a while, and everybody was like, ooh, what'd that mean? And then he was asked about it the next day. Well, you know, no, I mean, I didn't, you know, say really.
Well, you know, I hope that I can be
just love
here.
Doing my job. I'm not interested in going anywhere else. Right. You know,
yeah, kind of covered it up a little bit. But the entitlement, that is a shot at someone. The guys who want to be here, it could be so easy to hear that and that just go right over your head.
So here's
but
the question.
When you know Vrabel, you're looking for it, and that right there just was highlighted in bright yellow bold font to me.
Who's Vrabel mad at?
Ooh.
Clearly Vrabel's mad at somebody, right?
And I think that it's like a veteran player.
So you don't think this is one of those like Chris Mason the other day about you're good at what you do, but you know, sensationalize. Like, you think that from these Vrabel quotes over the last 4 days that Vrabel's mad at somebody?
Why would he say it if he's not?
I mean, I think Vrabel's mad at somebody, but everybody gets mad at me when I say things like I think Vrabel's mad at somebody, and there's not hardcore or a proof that says that this guy Vrabel's mad at. So,
either he's mad at somebody or he's sending a message just to set the record straight early on in the season that you're going to work out with our trainers, that if you're a Titan, you will not be entitled, that you will be here. The guys who want to be here, we want them, and anybody else who doesn't want to be here, we don't want them here. It's either a message preemptively or it's a message responding to something. But it means something.
Okay, so I have an idea who I think it is. And I have no way of for sure knowing this. Like, no way. So I'm about to make an accusation that is not rooted in any evidence. Are we okay with that?
As long as we know this is just a gut feeling and it means nothing.
Elijah, are we okay with this?
Hey, I'm cool with it.
Okay, I'll tell you who I think Vrabel's mad at on the other side. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, live at First Horizon Park. And I absolutely love every time that we do a show here from a Sounds game, the Jumbotron, we're sitting up in the press box, the Jumbotron just says, game tonight, first pitch, 6:35, Sounds versus Louisville Bats. So I don't even have to, like, read anything. I just look up at the Jumbotron. Game tonight, first pitch, 6:35 versus the Louisville Bats. Come on out. They're here for six straight days. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman & Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 the game. There you go. That was Vrabel when asked about Treylon Burks, and we thought that comment was about Treylon Burks, right?
Well, Treylon Burks and also the rest of the rookie class and also kind of the rest of the team as well.
Maybe. What if it had nothing to do with Treylon Burks? What if that was the one opportunity for Vrabel to get on his soapbox because he's mad at the guys who think they can go work out on their own and, you know, do the things and then show up when it's time to get on the field, and he wants them here with Frank, the strength coach, working out. Which leads me to my accusation that is rooted in zero evidence. In fact,
this is responsible, isn't it?
The lack of evidence is a red flag to me. Derrick Henry hasn't been posting a lot of workout videos this summer. Last spring, it was Here's Derrick Henry with an F-150 tied around his neck, and here he goes running it up a hill. And everybody's like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. Derrick Henry's neck must be so strong that he can carry an entire F-150 up an entire mountain. And those videos were out every day. It was like, here's Derrick Henry bench pressing a telephone pole. Like, wow. And we don't see any of that. And I went back, I looked at Melvin Sanders, who's his trainer. I follow him on Instagram, Sanders Fit. And I was looking at his, out in Dallas, I was looking at his Instagram. Because he's always posting things of like, here's Derrick Henry atop the highest building in all of Dallas doing pull-ups. And I didn't see anything. In fact, I clicked it, and there was another guy that posted something inside the gym. And I looked at the video, like the Zapruder tape, to see like, is Derrick Henry in that gym in Dallas?
Some FBI kind of work.
And you hear Vrabel talk about entitlement. So I think it's one of two things. Either one, I think it's Derrick Henry. Because Derrick, the last 3 years, has trained the Derrick way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because 2020, you weren't allowed to go to the facility. 2021, they canceled all the voluntary stuff because COVID was still kind of a thing. And this year, it's back to normal. And in the past, Derrick has gone to Alabama, and he was taking classes. But I'm sure he was working out at Alabama with the strength coaches, and Mike Mularkey wasn't very happy about that. And so then you have 2020, 2021. Derrick, it wouldn't surprise me if he was like, hey, I know how to take care of me. And I could see Derrick's logic behind that, right?
I don't know. I mean, I could see his logic behind that, but I think you're a little off base.
Well, last time Derrick didn't show up for the entire offseason program because it didn't exist in 2020, ran for 2,000 yards. And last year, Derrick was on pace for 2,000 yards, and then he got hurt. So I could see Derrick thinking, now Derrick might be there right now, I have no idea. But I could see Derrick thinking to himself, why would I change what I've been doing that's so good? And I can see Vrabel looking at it of like, Derrick Henry's not here. And I need Derrick Henry because he's the biggest leader of this team. He's the most popular player on the team. And he's not here. The other alternative is there's a handful of guys that aren't there that have done it the 2020 way and the 2021 way and are like, yeah, we don't need to be there. When we get on the football field for practice next week, when we start actual practice, we'll be there. And that could be like Henry, LaJuan, Landry, you know, all the guys that we haven't already seen. So we know that Christian Fulton's not a part of that. We know that Ben Jones isn't a part of that. We know Austin Hooper's not a part of that. We know Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is not a part of that. Has he talked? Yeah. Vrabel said he was there. Yeah. Tannehill now is not a part of that. So take all those guys out, and it could be like a whole group of them. That like Nate Davis and those guys are like, yeah, no, we're good. We'll show up when it's time to play. We'll train with our own trainers, and then we'll show up when it's time for practice. It may be the whole group. It may be Derrick.
With Derrick, though, I mean,
can't have special rules for Derrick Henry.
No, I'm not saying he should have special rules for Derrick Henry, but you're saying he hasn't posted on Instagram. He hasn't posted workout videos. What did we just get on to A.J. Brown for? Being all and around social media.
Different kind of social
media. Different kind of social media, yes, that's true.
That's A.J. responding to trolls. It's Derrick posting Superman workouts.
It's A.J. being immature and sending out very, you know, cryptic messages on Twitter versus Derrick Henry lifting up a tractor. I understand that those two things are different. But just because Derrick Henry, one, isn't posting on social media doesn't mean that he isn't working out. And two, Derrick Henry doesn't seem like the kind of player or person to me that just wouldn't show up, that would say, I don't want to be there, so I'm not going to be there. I don't look at him as the kind of player that's so hard-headed that would push it to that limit with Mike Vrabel, that he would be so vehement about training with his trainers that he wouldn't show up to team practice or team training.
Okay, so I have a couple thoughts on that.
Okay.
First off, Derek's already done that before. Like, Derrick didn't show up to go finish up his classes at Alabama, and he didn't call anybody, and Mike Mularkey was mad that he didn't call. And that became such a big deal, and then Mularkey looked like the bad guy.
But that's not Derrick Henry just going out of his way to be kind of a butt about it.
No, it was just kind of a mistake.
It was a mistake. He went to go finish his degree.
I think there's a difference between, and this is me, there's a difference between, like, I'm not showing up because I'm mad about my contract, and I'm not showing up right now because we're not doing full practices, Plus, you don't even let me practice anyway. As soon as I get out there to practice, you send me over to the sand pit. And I'm working with my trainer that I've spent the last 2 years with. And since I've spent the last 2 or 3 years with him, I've won 2 rushing titles and was on pace to win a 3rd. You know, like, Derek's formula, whatever Derek did in 2020, wouldn't you want Derek to do that again?
Yeah, probably so.
And so couldn't you see Derek saying, like, hey, I know how to prepare me. You know, Brady's that way. Now, Brady did just show up or whatever, but Brady's like, I know how to prepare me.
But don't you think Vrabel would want that as well? Don't you think Vrabel would want Derrick Henry to recreate what he did in 2020? So why would he publicly be getting on him about not being there?
Well, he's not publicly getting on him because he can't, because it's voluntary.
Publicly showing his frustration?
I think because Vrabel looks at it like, if Derrick does it, then the other guys will think that they can do it too. You can tell somebody, and again, this may very well be the second one, that there's a handful of dudes that aren't there.
I think it's more so a group rather than an individual.
But you can tell somebody on the team, you know, a young player on the team, you can say, hey, don't worry about Taylor. Don't do what Taylor does. You know, Taylor LaWance, he's kind of a... You can't say that about Derrick Henry. I mean, with Derrick Henry, it's like, Derrick Henry is the most respected member of the Tennessee Titans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that with all due respect to everybody else, but if you ask anybody, you know, in Poughkeepsie about the Tennessee Titans, they will tell you Derrick Henry. And so, I mean, I think Vrabel knows that too. Like, all the young players probably look up to Derrick. Not just the young running backs look up to Derrick, but in the same vein of how we went off about the quarterback, I do wonder if Derrick's there. But, and I haven't seen, this is the thing that gets me, is I haven't seen any social media posts from Derrick. And I'm used to social media posts from Derek.
So, I don't need social media posts from Derek.
I don't need them, but if I'm used to them, I'm getting them all the time, and then I don't get them anymore, then doesn't that lead you to wonder why you're not getting them?
Yeah, you can wonder why.
So let me state for the record once again that I have absolutely zero evidence to suggest that Derrick Henry is not there right now. Other than the evidence that I don't have that would say that he is there.
The lack of evidence is the evidence.
But the thing is Vrabel is clearly mad at somebody. And you're right. It probably is the, if I had to bet, I would bet on it's a group of veteran players that aren't there. And the 6 guys that aren't there that Derek may be a part of angers Vrabel. Or it could be Derek.
Derek did get a haircut yesterday.
Did he? Did he get it in Nashville?
Let's see. I will check. Dallas.
Oh, because according to the SiriusXM radio interview Vrabel did today,
his trainers,
Malik Willis and Ryan Tannehill, were on the field together yesterday. So when Malik Willis and Ryan Tannehill were on the field yesterday and Vrabel saw it and talked about it and said, I saw the 3 quarterbacks on the field, Derek was getting a haircut in Dallas. Are we sure that was yesterday?
It was posted 21 hours ago.
According to what source?
Hairline Matters, which is his barber, who is based out of Dallas, Texas.
Okay. I'm going to need to, you know, because this could be like the Tannehill fishing post where it's like, well, you know, that was actually taken months ago. Does it look like it was like taken months ago, or does it look like Derek just got a cut yesterday?
I don't really know how to tell the difference of if it was yesterday. I mean, it looks sunny outside, so I don't know.
Think that was yesterday. I think that was yesterday.
It was posted 21 hours ago.
How did you find that?
I went to his Instagram and I went to his tagged photos. That's where the heat is. That's where all the tea lies, is the tagged photos.
All right, so here's what we know. Here's what this Detective Stillman and Fenton know. One, we know Vrabel's either mad at a group of people or he's mad at somebody in particular about not being there.
Uh-huh.
Vrabel's clearly not happy about it. And this isn't even like what he said about Tannehill when he was like, I'm comfortable with where Ryan is, but, you know, we'll work with the guys who are here. I mean, this is like 6 different ways that Vrabel has talked about people who aren't here or has highlighted the people who are here. So we know Vrabel's not happy. We also know that it would be somebody who would be entitled to something. You know, like if it's AJ Moore, I mean, what the hell's he entitled to? Nothing, right? Like Jeff Swaim is not entitled to anything. So it has to be like a true entrenched starter.
Core veteran on this team.
Nate Davis, Taylor Lewan, Amani Hooker, who plays linebacker for this team? Bud Dupree.
David
like
Long Jr.
Those guys. And he's there. Long Jr. is. So it's clearly something. It may be a group. It may be Derek, who according to Caroline was getting, according to Instagram, was getting a haircut yesterday in Dallas. What do we think? 615-737-1025. We'll just get to your phones next. 615-737-1025. This is a rockin' and rollin' program. Nashville's best deal of the week is Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills. Bavarian Beer House, Nashville's only authentic German beer hall, is a place full of fun, food, music, and most importantly, beer. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals now to get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Bavarian Beer House while supplies last. There you go. That was Charlie Weiss this morning after Vrabel on their show. You know, when he was talking about how Vrabel can still knock out the players, I know one player Vrabel can't knock out. Derrick Henry. And again, Vrabel has gone out of his way multiple times this week. If you go all the way back to Friday, he has gone out of his way multiple times this week to talk about the voluntary workout programs and guys working out. Friday, it was the working out with the trainer line about how guys think they can work out with their trainer. This morning, it was the no entitlement. And then on SiriusXM. And then what was the, oh, the my favorite thing is to coach the guys who want to be here and want to get better. So Vrabel's clearly upset with people who aren't there. We wonder if it's Derek. We did the little work. Derek was supposedly in Dallas yesterday. He was in Jacksonville over the weekend, apparently.
He was in Jacksonville celebrating his daughter's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Valentina.
Is that her name?
That is.
Happy birthday to Valentina Henry. So there is that. But again, I mean, I think it's Derek. Let's go to your phones as promised. 615-737-1025 live at First Horizon Park. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland, go ahead.
Hey, so as good as you were last week, I complimented you. This show's terrible. This is bad today.
Why?
This is so boring, man. You're saying you can't get a haircut? Like, this is a guy who was RoboCop for us since he's been here, and then he gets hurt, comes back in a valiant effort. He does not need this offseason program. We all know that.
Here's my thing, Adam. Here's my theory, though. Like, if you're Vrabel, put yourself in Vrabel's shoes. I agree with you. I don't think Derrick Henry needs to be here until they're actually on the field going over plays. And even then, I'm not necessarily sure that Derrick Henry needs to be here. He doesn't really run routes in the pass pattern. He doesn't really pass protect on third down. I mean, in all seriousness, how much of it is Derrick run left, Derrick run right? But I do think that Vrabel looks at it as the most respected player on the team is doing his own thing, which then makes the other players think that they can do the own thing.
Yeah, but Derek has to wonder if he should go get a haircut or not because it's going to be scrutinized. That's just stupid. Like, that's a toxic work environment. He should sue him for it. Like, that's awful.
Well, he didn't say, and that's why he didn't say anything about Derrick Henry, and I do appreciate your call, Adam. That's why Vrabel's not coming out and saying, you know, and let's just say it is Derek that he's mad at. Mm-hmm. Or let's say there's five guys he's mad at. You know, he's not getting, if he could, like, if it was allowed by the collective bargaining agreement, Vrabel would go to the podium and be like, Henry, Jackson, Smith, Hooker, Davis, Lewan are all not here. And they're not getting better. And we want them to get better, and they don't want to be here. Vrabel would definitely do that. I mean, he's already kind of shaming these guys without naming them because he can't name them. And so, to the point about, go, Derrick Henry can't get a haircut. Like, that's a really easy way to simplify it. What it is Vrabel wants everybody here. He wants everybody working out with his strength coach. He wants everybody in his locker room. He wants everybody together. And I understand why he wants that. And this goes back to that Tom Brady documentary that we were talking about. I was actually talking to Joe and Robbie about last night at the golf tournament dinner, which was the one that Vrabel's in, where it's him, Brewski, and Brady, and they're talking about how the Patriots worked harder than everybody else, and that it wasn't the fans that were holding people accountable, it wasn't the coaches that were holding people accountable, it was the team that was holding people accountable. Everybody not there if you're Derrick Henry. And then how do you hold the other guys accountable if it's like, well, Derrick is doing that, so why can't I do that? And I think that's the point. That's what Vrabel doesn't like, if it is in fact Derek. It has nothing to do with the haircut. Whatever the text line.
Andrew texts in and says, in my opinion, last month when you were crying about Tannehill, Derek and every other veteran should have been there as well.
I agree, but they're not the quarterback, and they didn't ruin the Cincinnati game. So Tannehill got highlighted. In fact, you know, I think I said this when we talked about it, but it was so not important to me because the quarterback was so much more important, especially the quarterback who half the town wants to run out anyways, was so much more important to me. I think I said, like, I want all those other guys there too. Because, like, Jeffrey Simmons was at the Preds game on the Jumbotron. It was like, please welcome Jeffrey Simmons. And, you know, Simmons gets a wave in the air. And I'm like, and I'm sitting there at the game, and I'm like, so he can't go to voluntary work after he can go to the Preds game.
Yeah.
I mean, what are we doing?
Preds games are fun.
What are we doing? You know, like, hey, what yesterday, and this is where this all comes back on Vrabel, even though it's not, you know, Vrabel's thing, is what I say yesterday on the show. What's the expectation for the Titans? To compete for the Super Bowl. So it's not like we have low expectations this season. I mean, we got high expectations right now. We got high expectations for the Titans. And that's why I want Derrick Henry there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We got some Preds news. John Hines and David Poyle are coming back. The Predators have announced that they will have a press conference. John Hines and David Poyle will have a press conference Thursday at 11 a.m., which means that John Hines will be the coach next year. David Poyle will be the general manager next year. That is not surprising. I will say this, though. The way that we feel and the way that apparently everybody else thinks we should feel are totally different. I'll explain that coming up right here on Stillman & Company. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. Go yard all May long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on a Tuesday MLB game. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run. I'm going to go with Matt Olson, former Nashville Sound. We're at the Sounds today. I'm going to go with Matt Olson because yesterday I watched the Braves play the Brewers and the Braves didn't score any runs, and that always follows like an 8-run output. So I think that Matt Olson's going to go yard today. So go ahead and put Matt Olson down. So what are you waiting for? Pick your home run hitter and turn big swings into big wins. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Head over to FanDuel or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using the promo code JGM. That's promo code JGM. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issues and all withdrawal site credit expires in 7 days. Max bonus $25. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.